Hello, friend. Thank you for tuning in to the 29th episode of the Random Intricacies from an Animate Object. I'm Juan. I'm happy you're here. Welcome to your 15-minute mental reset. The moment we've all been waiting for is here. It's time for us to clear our minds and give ourselves a little break. Take a deep breath and just relax. Feel your body just release all of that tension. And matter of fact, if you're not driving, I'd like for you to stand up or sitting, just shake out all that tightness. You know, roll your head around a little bit. Maintain your breathing too. You know, focus on the breaths in and the breaths out. Clear your mind and try to think of nothing. I mean, I know it's hard, but just think of nothing. Whatever bad thoughts you have or bad feelings that you have and you're unable to focus, let's put those to the side right now. Let's make a mental drop box. We'll just leave that in there for now. What I'd like for you to do once you feel like you have some peace and tranquility, I want you to think about how you would describe yourself to someone else if you weren't you. I don't want you to sit there and make shit up either. I really want you to be honest. Like your life depended on it. Describe to me who you are. What are your goals? Where are you headed? Are you kind? Do you go around criticizing people or do you uplift? Are you manifesting or are you more depressing? If you were to give a full report on who you are up to this point, and you had to give someone, if you had to give legitimate constructive criticism, what would you pinpoint that you need to fix? Are you so perfect and special that you can't think of any? Like me, I can't think of any. No, I'm kidding. Did this say something about you that you can't think of anything bad or that needs work? Are you being real about who you are? And I wanted this to be our mental exercise today because I'm always asking you to give yourself some positive affirmations. But some of the most positive comes from being brutally honest with who you are and what your shortcomings are. What are your limitations or what can you improve on? I'm not really expecting you to be too hard on yourself, but I think at some point you have to be tough. You have to have some tough love with yourself. Shed light on all of those things that you perceive to be an Achilles heel. To know yourself is to know all of the parts. And I'm getting a lot better at not only giving myself some tough love, but making sure I never lose sight of the love I stand to give myself by actually speaking on them. Don't avoid the truth. We come out better people on the other side of the truth. I was browsing through my social media today. I managed to sneak in a little social media, a little IG, a little Twitter. You know how it is. You know, I just keep up with my current events there that way. And let's be honest, comedy on Twitter is undefeated. Today, I literally stopped and played a video. I must have played this video like 45 times. And it made me think of you. It was an interview with Kendrick Lamar. I can't tell you who was interviewing him. I just had the clip of him. And I'm not even sure who or when this was. But you just listen to certain people because you feel like they actually have certain things figured out. And some people project internal peace and certainty about themselves that instantly inspires you and commands respect. I don't have to tell you about Kendrick's music career or his music. I think that all speaks for itself. He was talking about what we were put on this earth to do. And he basically said this. He said, when are we going to understand that we are put on earth to love? That's all it's about. Everyone wants to figure out how complicated life is and break it down. And this is what I truly think. I really think that it's going to keep going on. War is going to keep going on. Frustration is going to keep going on. Anger is going to keep going on. Until we finally get back to the simplest word, love. And I appreciated that video today because I finally am starting to accept the concept. I'm fully embracing that love. And spreading love and giving it, receiving it are the keys to growth. We've turned love into something that's more internalized and shown at times. And our use of the word even becomes more of a normal thing to say. But what is it supposed to make you feel like? How is it supposed to make everyone else feel? Do you need that today? Maybe a little bit of love. Do you think that would have made a difference in your day? If you haven't already gotten it. And it's a really simple concept that turns out to be so complicated and complex. Love yourself too much and you risk becoming a narcissist. Love yourself too little and you neglect the most important person in your life. Not to mention how damning that could be for any progress you wish to make. Growing up, the versions of it that I had, you know, they came from my mother. Some of it was tough. A lot of it was raw, but it was always real and genuine. That kind of love is different, the one from a parent who cares about your future and about the person you're supposed to be when you're out in the world. That is nurturing and makes you feel really safe. If you have siblings, then that love is different. And maybe it's even expressed different, but the love is in the respect you have for one another. The way you're there for your sibling if they ever needed you. You do things for them that you'd never do for anyone else. Have their backs, not just when they need it, you know, but when their kids do as well. Because it's home team. And that's a different kind of love. Neighbor and people in your neighborhood. If you have pride of where you come from, then you should extend to those you share a city with. Are you stopping yourself from yelling at someone when you're having a bad day? Or would it make more sense for you to avoid that and try to make someone else feel like they're appreciated for just being there, for being a part of the community? There's a lot of love in community, support from one another, you know, marching for one another, fight as one with one unified voice. You know, love of heritage and where your ancestors come from. What made you the way you are, the culture you were born into. I personally was born in the United States, in New Jersey, but both of my parents were from the Dominican Republic. I'm fortunate I get to enjoy that, you know, the country has given me and my family. I do love the blood that runs through my veins and always will. Even though when I go to DR, I'm just an American. When I'm here, I'm a Dominican. I love that too, because I love both the same and I know I belong with both. I love a good New Jersey slice of pizza. Maybe wash it down with another one of my favorite loves, Morir Soñando, which if you've never heard of it, it's one of the most delicious drinks known to man. I think you need to make a call to your local Dominican restaurant if you have any. And ask them to make you a Morir Soñando. And it's translated, it's die dreaming. There are just so many things that give me the feeling, the tingle, if you will, the spidey sense for your heart. I think we go back to the eternal struggle and how duplicity must exist for us to have balance. We go back to the common saying, too much of anything is bad. Who knew that even water could be lethal if you abuse it? So love in this case is water. There could be that fake love. The one that you feel that you need to give just because. You don't even know why you do it. You just know it's status quo and you have to. Well, I'd rather you keep that to yourself. There's nothing real about that. And in order for us to reclaim the love that we want to give and receive, we need to stop with the fake love bullshit. Let's get back to being honest. We don't have to like anyone. We don't have to like everyone. We don't have to pretend to love everything and everyone. That's that type of shit that's reserved for Disney movies, I guess. Too much love could be an obsession too, right? You ever see those cringeworthy situations where someone is caught stalking or destroying someone's property or fighting someone for someone? And let's be honest, let's not normalize for someone fighting for some people. And the PSA to those recording it, you are not funny, and I think that needs to stop. Let's give some people privacy back. We don't have to sit here and record everything, especially private situations like that. Random rant, I know. I guess that's what makes this work so much for me. But I guess it's all fair in love and war, right? Why do we do that? Why do we equate love with war? Wars are fought for peace. Love is always peace. It's compromise and being able to lay down your weapons. It shouldn't be that drastic and that damn hard. Well, I know it's easy for me to say, right? There's so many tears or arguments, a literal vulnerability that comes to it. A little vulnerability that comes with it. Everything needs a little love. It's crazy. It just made me think about this movie, Meet Joe Black. A movie with Anthony Hopkins, Brad Pitt, and Claire Forlani. Perfect example of what I'm talking about. Basically, in this long-ass movie, and I'm telling you, this shit is one of the longest movies ever. But in this movie, Brad Pitt plays this guy, and he meets a woman in a coffee shop, and they hit it off. There's this energy between them. But as they walk away from each other, each curious about the other, he gets hit by a few cars and dies. Yeah. A few cars. This shit is ridiculously gruesome. Never thought I'd see Brad Pitt go out like that either. Way to start a movie, right? The woman, Allison, is actually prepping for her billionaire father's 65th birthday. It's going to make it a big celebration. Until right during the planning, Anthony Hopkins' character, Bill, is visited by a young man. The same young man who was hit by a car and killed earlier. And at this point, you're like, what the hell, right? How? Anthony Hopkins' character, Bill, his view on life had fascinated death. Yes, death itself. So it decided to meet Bill and exchanged a chance to experience life as explained by Bill. And in return, Bill would not have to die yet. And they came up with the alias Joe Black. And so it begins. So while they're planning this big party, Bill is also trying to navigate his company. And this new Joe, who's always hanging around him, is the final straw to push Bill out. One thing that's interesting is Susan, who met the guy at the coffee shop, sees him with her father and finds it weird. But Death, who is now inside a human body, you know, feeling human emotions for the first time, starts falling for her. And they both fall for each other. And, you know, they spark up a romantic relationship. When confronted by Bill, Death tells him that he intends to take his daughter when this is all over to be with him. And Bill, you know, kind of makes him see it different. Bill appeals to Joe to recognize the meaning of true love and all it encompasses, especially honesty and sacrifice. Joe comes to understand that he must set aside his own desire and allow Susan to live her life. Ultimate sacrifice. Even death is no match for love in this case. Joe does help Bill regain his company by exposing his son-in-law to the IRS, which is dope. And when the 65th birthday comes, Bill knows that it's basically his final night. So he makes his peace with his daughters. He shares love. And Susan also takes a chance to tell Joe that she's loved him since the day they met at the coffee shop. When his chance comes to tell her who he really was, he couldn't. He realized she loved someone else the entire time. Even though he was in the body, it wasn't him that she loved. And in that exchange, she just stops him and says, look, you're just Joe. And then at that moment, he has to take Bill with him and they go on the walk. You already know where they're going. Crossroads. When they head over the hill and disappear, a few seconds later, Joe comes back and he looks confused as hell. At that point, you knew it was no longer death. Death had given the dead, he gave the dead stranger his life back. He sees Susan and he has no idea how the hell he got there, but he knew he was safe and he had everything he needed because he was exactly where he left off with Susan. And that's when that final exchange happened. She says, "What do we do now?" And he says, "It'll come to us." And they hold hands and walk off. The funny thing is that when they first had a romantic relationship and he was death, he asks her, "What do we do now?" And she says, "It'll come to us." Death found love. It was so intrigued by it that it was even willing to completely go against what it was designed to do. Take with no regard, because it's one of the few guarantees. Even in love, it got to experience what sacrificing means, what making love is, the significance of it, and how you don't own love. No one owns you, but it feels so good to receive and give it. You can choose to open your heart. What are you going to do with that now, and how are you going to share it? That's what I'll leave you with today. You can get yourself out of the routine you've carved for yourself. Maybe it's time to put down the wall you've managed to build around it and turn all of that, well, death into love. On that note, we're at time. I'm sure we can go on longer, but this is a perfect opportunity for you to take this conversation offline. Find a friend or a stranger and discuss. In case you're wondering, this episode and all of the episodes for this show, the music is produced by Infamy. For Elite Music Production, please make sure to visit www.infamysounds.com. I'm Juan Gordon. You're listening to the Random Intricacies from an Animate Object. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.